You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. So, perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we open thy love letter, thy word, and looking for you to help us. And God will thank you and thank you again very much. Deal with the children and everyone, the prayer times and all of these different things. God, thank you for all of them. In Christ's name, amen. And in the light of our study of our first epistle of John, and in the light of the day in which we live and the time in which we live. So, we're moving, going to move into the future. Either the Lord is going to take us or he's going to let us go a little further. And so, therefore, it is just helpful, I hope. I'm just going to try to think out loud for myself. And I'm going to try to think out loud. What do I need to understand in the light of what's coming ahead? What do I need to understand? What do I need to be in light of what's coming ahead? So, having said that, so that's the exercise. And so bear with me in some very basic, wonderful things that I need to understand. And be remembered of, remember, because as I go into the future, I want to be able to withstand and understand and to stand where I go. I don't want to collapse. I don't want to fall apart. I want to be steady and strong to the end. Therefore, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17, if I can. And you'll note, this is for morning and evening, by the way, because I'll never finish this. So at least mumble a little bit, and if the Lord tarries, we'll mumble some more, and then there's no more mumbling, we're going home. So God help us. So now, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Therefore, if any man, be in Christ, location, where? In Christ. What happens? He is a new creature, a new creation, Jew, Gentile, and the church of God, the body of Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, when a person receives the Lord as their Savior, are they a new creature? What happens if a fellow down the street, right now driving a truck or something, and he gives his heart to Christ, and some whatever, and he gives his heart to Christ? Is he a new creature? Are you a new creature? Are you really a new creature? Just a question. Is the people in Venezuela, Iran, believers, if there's some there, having a tough time, China, a tough time, are they new creatures? How can you receive the Lord and not be a new creature? Hang on to that. What do you think new means? What do you think old things have passed away means? What do you think all things become new means? What do you think it means? No. Everything old. My tie's old, my suit's old. I'm old. All the old's passed away. you have become a new creature. Now, having said that, if that is true, how much is the average believer being a new creature? I mean, new. Everything's new. Everything's new? What about my pain? It's new. You see everything differently. You feel differently. Same body, same eyes, same everything, but you're different. You see it differently. You understand it differently. Your whole thing is different because you're a new creature. And old things passed away doesn't mean some things. God doesn't take care of part of your sin. God took all of our sin in his own body in the tree. Boom. Every dumb sin you're going to do tomorrow, you haven't even got there. Every thought, word, and deed, God has covered it already. So that doesn't mean go try to do stupid things to show it. No, there's enough stupid things come easy. They come easy for us. So God, what are you doing? Everything has become new, wonderfully new. Now, how do I deal with that new? New, I want to understand new. Okay. So that I can take every hour, every single hour that goes by becomes an old hour. An old yesterday becomes today. And today is becoming old. And today is all going to be gone if we live a few more hours in another day. All passed away. Now, over if you would please, to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, picking up, please, chapter 15, bear with me. You're my counselors. Chapter 15. May I go to verse 4 in the light of the whole context? Chapter 15, verse 4. Abide, dwell, find your home. Continue, rest, abide, dwell. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch to the vine, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The branch can't do it, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. So the branch have to abide to produce. I have to abide. I'm a new creature in Christ, and I need to abide. That's what I need to do, and we shared that last time, so you see it. Absolutely essential. All the other efforts you can do, pray without ceasing, if you don't abide. I'm going to illustrate it in a minute. Now, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So nothing means nothing. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. So means nothing. If you don't abide, you can't do it. And I illustrated that last time, and I'm going to try to do it again quickly so you remember it. In the process. And I've got to abide now. Here's the same tree growing. And remember, here's the tree. And this, as long as this is abiding, does it care about leaves? No. It just knows that if it abides, the fruit, the life of the tree, will show itself in the vine. And the leaves will be there, and the fruit will be there. That's it. That's all you got to do is abide. And again, if you have a problem understanding that, just to exercise yourself, find a little spot to look steadily at a branch and tell me what the branch is doing to stay alive. What do you see the branch doing? What word are you going to use to describe the branches? You're going to use the word abide, because that's all it's doing. It's staying attached. That's all it's doing. Keeping the relationship. You're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. Abide in the truth. Abide. That's all it's doing. And the branch above it is the same. The branch. I didn't take all the branches on the tree. Here we are. Every branch in the tree is the same. The believer over here is the same believer over here. The same life, the same love, the same Lord. They are not two different. Do you understand? Absolutely the same. If I go to the middle of Timbuktu, Iran, China, Israel, and find a believer, the believer is going to have the same, be a new creature, and they belong in the tree, unless they're caught up. Here's a bigger branch. Here's they're caught up for John 15:6, if you're still there, read it so you know it. Verse 6, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. What do you do with a branch that isn't full of life? As long as it's attached, it's just going to have life. That's the only way. It has to be. That's what it's going to do. Otherwise, you get a bunch of dead branches. And the dead branches don't have anything. I'm a branch. Yay. I'm a new creature. Prove it. Prove you're a new creature. No leaves, no fruit, no proof. You're going to have proof. Say, well, I'm a new creature. Well, I'm church. And then we go through different kinds of problems in the days ahead. Well, branches aren't going to come out good, and you're not going to survive. Branches aren't going to help you make it. Tree limbs that are healthy, they're going to help you make it, not a bunch of branches. And believers that are just branches, they don't allow themselves to be changed. They don't allow themselves to have anything happen. A bunch of branches. And you know what? This branch, well, I can take a whole pile of branches and mix them up. What's common among them? Death. Death is common among them. These branches, and I put it in the middle of the forest, these branches belong to this tree, and all other trees are different. But once you become dead on the ground, we're all common. We're all common. When I come to know the Lord as my Savior, I'm supposed to be a new creature, and I'm supposed to abide and enjoy a wonderful new life. And that's true. You can't be a believer without being the same new creature that you and I are. You have to be the same. Now, it isn't the same, because our system doesn't make it the same. We're all over the place. Congregations, churches, everything. We're a bunch of branches. And the only way you're going to survive is to abide. Therefore, abiding. Hang on. Over to John 17. What is that going to do? John 17. God, what do you want me to do? Picking up, please, the great commission, the great purpose of what we're doing. What are we doing in this age of grace? What are we doing? Chapter 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, as he was, so are we. We represent him. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And in the process, sliding down. What is that going to do? What are you showing God? Verse 21. That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that purpose they also may be one in us. And that, why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I'm saying something to the world. I'm saying something to the world. The world needs to have life. They need to have a relationship to God. They don't. And you're a branch, a new creature. And you're supposed to be flourishing. What do I have to do? Abide. Just enjoy your relationship to God and exercise it for real. Hang on, can't come out all at once now. So, sliding down, verse 23. I in them, and thou in me. Why? That they may be made perfectly, completely in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I want them to know something about me. I want them to know your unique relationship that you have to Almighty God as a new creature. You're brand new. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. And you see the whole world you live in differently. You see your body differently. Your feelings begin to change. You're growing, you're knowing, you're changing. That's right. That's right. Why are you changing? Because you're a new creature, brand new. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and think of what we did in Sunday school, verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. That we're oneness. I want you to enjoy a oneness. 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 Your hands belong to one body. Your eyes belong to one body, just one. You don't have two bodies. You have one body, oneness, unique oneness. The branch and the vine, oneness, abide. What's the word? Abide, abide. Then you want. And most of us live like this because it's normal. It's normal not to be saved. We feel very comfortable being unsaved. We feel very comfortable being a Christian in a Christian kind of way. We feel very comfortable. I go to church. I read my Bible. What do you want? I know a little bit more. Good for you. Good for you. Are you a new creature? Where is there abiding? Show me the abiding. Show me what? I don't need your life and you don't need my life. I need his life. There's a difference. You don't need to see me. I'm just nothing. It's nothing. I won't say that to you. Abide. Now, keep going. Let me tack it a little more in your heart. Over to Galatians. In Galatians and in chapter 3. And in Galatians in chapter 3. And you will note, if I can, I'm going to go to pick it up, a little bit of context. Chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized, immersed into Christ, a new creature, have put on Christ. There, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And you're male and female. That's the two things on earth. But you're a new creature, and you're neither. You're neither. You're no more a Jew, you're no more a Gentile. You're a new creature, brand new. You have a relationship to God. God has taken you out and sealed you in his Son. Let me do it again a little further. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians in chapter 3, let's do it again so you see it. Sliding down to verse 11, Colossians 3:11. In the whole wonderful, I'm going to read verse 10 just so you catch the flavor of it. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image, of him that created him. God, what are you doing? You're changing us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're being changed. Changed and changed and changed and changed and changed. That's right. You're being changed. You're going to be changed. What's happening? I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Gentile. I'm not a male. I'm not female. What are you going to do with me, God? I'm doing something wonderful. I'm making you like my Son. I'm giving you a whole new relationship to Almighty God, he said. And you're going to be like my Son. The head and the body match. Your body, I'm making you. You're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to be like him physically. How about male and female? No. You're going to be like him. He's the head, and you're the body, and you're going to have an awesome heavenly, it's going to take God then to help us even grab this. You're going to be like me, like my Son. When I see you, I see my Son. Do you understand that? You're a new creature. Brand new creature. A new creation. You're to abide. But I don't want to be that Christian. I don't mind being a little Christian. I don't want to be a big Christian. No. God did the whole ball of wax so you aren't saved. You aren't saved if God didn't do the whole thing. And that's where you're headed. Well, I don't want to go. You may not. Say, people, I don't want to go to heaven. And you won't, and know what, dear friend? You won't go to heaven. How's that? You can be sure of it. Unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you aren't going to get there. In no way, shape, or form. Christ, you're simple. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. And if you don't have the Son, what? You don't have life. It's so hard. You're new. You're brand new. You ought to let things happen to you. See, if you don't do that, then we're just an average congregation, ultimately rolling down the corridor of time, doing what congregations do. And that's what they do. And we're doomed for it unless we stay healthy. And if you don't stay healthy and be a new creature, all we got's a bunch of branches, more branches. And this isn't going to help us at all. I don't need more dead branches. I need alive ones. That's what I need. It ain't going to help the battle. Push comes to shove. I'm telling you. It won't work. No. So in Colossians, I didn't mean to jump. Chapter 3, verse 11. Where there is neither Jew, Greek, Gentile, or Jew, circumcision, or uncircumcision, but no barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. It's all about Christ. That's what it is. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what you're sitting here for, to grow. To grow, you get saved, God makes you a new creature, you belong in the body, and you're supposed to grow up. So what do we become like? Well, we're becoming all like the same thing. Becoming all like the same. I don't want to be like that side. You have to become what? Like Christ. That's what you're going to do. I say, I'm not interested. Then you aren't going to go anywhere. It's not going to happen. You have to have it, dear friend. So, you got that part. Abide. So many wonderful things. Do it again. The whole thing again. Whole nother way. God, you tell us 35, 45, 1,005. The way through ways. You're trying to tell us we have a unique, awesome relationship to you. We're your building, we're your temple, we're your body, we're your branch. I mean, what can I tell you? Hebrews 3, we're your home. It's where do you live, God? I live in the, you're here. I live in the heart. That's where I live. I live in the home. You're my home. Wow. Okay. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 3. If I can, 1 Corinthians 3, and going and picking up in thought a verse, you'll catch the in the light of the context. I'm going to do verse 1. I won't even have time for that. Slide down, if I can. In verse 8. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own work, labor. Every believer is all laboring and co-laborers with Christ. Now, verse 9, 4. What is the relationship, this laboring, this relationship? What are we working out, God? Well, you're a vine and the branch, that's right. What else? Verse 9, 4. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Yeah, so yeah. Now, that's the next little word. You have to love it. God, you're so good. You're my husbandry. The word husbandry is the word to take a plow and a field that's neat and take the plow and cultivate and till the land. Send the plow through the field and make it all cultivated, ready to grow. That's what you're my garden. All right, hang on, got it? Hang on, watch it. You're my garden. Now, God, you said I'm your vine. You're my vine. Uh-huh. And I'm your garden. You're my garden, I should say. Now, having put that together so you see it, over if I can, to the book of Hosea. And go Old Testament to the New. And in Hosea, and in chapter 11, Hosea chapter 11. Chapter 10. I sometimes give you the wrong heading at the top. Hosea chapter 10. May I go right in the light of the context? Think of what you just read. You're my cultivated field. Verse, here's Israel. Chapter 11, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It's time to break up, cultivate the ground. Get your act right. Think how dull you can get, not you, but people. You know, do you ever think in your life, have you ever been excited about God? in your life, somewhere, as the same person. I didn't say be excited about a work or home or school. Be excited about God, your wonderful relationship to God. Do you remember when you were excited about your relationship to God? I don't know. Do you remember that? No. Do you know how easy it is to go years without having more another relationship that's positive? You can sort of be stuck in the mud, and you sort of lose the same way, and you lost the joy. You lost the peace. You lost in joy. You forgot what it is to be loved by God. And you sort of, I go to church, I read, I pray, good. Is your heart warm? Did you lose the heat? Did you lose the ground? You need to cultivate it, cultivate it, cultivate it. Chapter Hebrews, Hebrews. Hosea chapter 14. What are you going to do, God, in a most wonderful way? Chapter 14 may go directly in the light of the encouragement of chapter. I'm going to read verse, chapter 14, verse 3. Assur, that's Assyria. 14:3, Hosea. Assur, that's Assyria, shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, idolatry. You are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And we understand God. We got to stop being about, break up the fallow ground. And what are you going to do, God? Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from them. I will be as the dew upon Israel. He shall grow as the lily. Lilies are so plentiful. Thousands of them just fill the field. Well, lilies. I will be as the dew, the moisture at night. Israel, and shall grow as lily, and cast forth her roots as Lebanon. Giant Lebanons hanging in there. Like our great sequoias, not like that, of course. Now, and in the process, in verse 6, his branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as the Lebanon. Wow. And they shall dwell under the shadow. They shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. And the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. In other words, I'm going to do a wonderful thing. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, that's the northern 10 tribes, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green tree for green fir tree, and from me is thy fruit found. A relationship, a oneness, that's right. Now, do it a different way so you see it. It's a wonderful thing. God, you say, Israel didn't catch it. Oh, that some believers did, but they didn't catch it as a nation. Over Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And you'll note. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish. 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Where is your garden? It's in the middle of your place, God. It's your garden. That's right. It's my garden. It's my planting. My planting. And to catch it, we're missing so many things. Think of Matthew. And well, you have to do that. You got the idea. God, what are you going to do? And picking up, please. And verse 14. And they shall bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. To show what for? Why are we supposed to be like that? Because you're a new creature. You're brand new. You're a branch attached to the vine. Verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God, what are you doing? Well, we're your garden. That's right. We're your branches. Abide. You're my garden. You're my garden. Whose garden is it? It's your garden, God. Over to Psalm Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And you'll note. Isaiah 61, please. Catching it in verse 3. 61, 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that purpose they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God says, that's mine. I did it. I saved that rascal. I made him a new creature. I made him like my son. And the Jew and Gentile, pay attention. God saved you. You rejected Christ. You better get ready to receive him or face the wrath of God. Because I've been demonstrating to you that I took a Jew and a Gentile, a male or a female, and I did a wonderful thing. I saved them and made them new creatures so that my son, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, he is the one that is going to take you and bring you into a unique relationship that you're a new creature in Christ. That's right. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's right. That's right. I want to do all that. Over to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, picking up, if I may, sliding along over to, here's the parable of the sower, as you know, and sliding down chapter 13, sliding all the way to the good ground, if I can. All the other ground is there. Verse 22, He also that receives seed among the thorns, he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 23, but, contrast, he that receiveth seed, what do you know about seed? Hang on to your thought, don't lose it. John, you have to turn there, John 6, 63. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. I'm giving you my words, John chapter 6. Pay attention. They aren't just normal words like any book. They're my words. And you take what I say, abide in me, you're a new creature, you're my garden, etc. Take my word into your head and heart, and may it find good ground, cultivated ground, and it will do wonders for you. Now, chapter 13, verse 22, 23. He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 30, 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Yeah, it's fruitful. Fine. You're going to be a vine attached, and you're going to be what? You're going to be cultivated. You got to put the seed.
Where am I going?
Got to have cultivated ground. My heart's open for the seed, for God's word. I'm in your presence, God. So what? And you're giving me a word. Your word is what? How am I going to say? I can't understand you, God. Read, read. Here I am. Read, read. And you'll understand your relationship to me. And so as I do and read, the relationship is what? It's full of life. It helps me understand you, God. Right. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. They're full of life. So what? I'm going to do that, God. But I got to have cultivated ground for the word to find a home in your heart. Otherwise, you just read the Bible and did it, and you did your thing for the day. Yeah. And you got to feed your heart. Feed your heart. You got to feed. If you're alive, physically, whether you're at home or wherever, you're going to get hungry. And if all possible, you're going to try to find some food. Is that true? You're going to try to find some food. And so you got to eat. You have a refrigerator at home. And you go in the refrigerator to find something to eat, maybe. And you do what you do. Why do you do that? Because you're alive and you need to eat. If you don't eat and don't eat, you're not going to be very healthy. You have to eat your food and digest it, assimilate it, and you have to let that food go down and become part of your life. I got to read, read. And if you're reading, when you come here, using a puzzle, you're getting pieces. You read different things in the Bible. It's just too big, too much. You take little bits at a time and read them. And you get a little bit, you learn something. Sometime you don't understand it. That's all right. God said it, and you'll understand it maybe sometime. It isn't important. God's telling you. So you keep reading and reading, and you digest what you can. Puzzle, piece after puzzle. Here's the big puzzle. And you get piece of puzzle. And you know what? Because of the puzzle, when we come together, I'm trying to add the pieces together. So you got little pieces, 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 and then I do a little bit on something and bring the pieces together on something. That's what we're trying to do, piece together. And boy, that's one of the things. Pretty soon, that's a little piece I've been working on. I didn't know where it belonged. And you slide the piece over, and you slide the piece over because you're learning. But if you're not feeding at home, you aren't going to come on just Sunday, I'm going to learn. Baloney. That's no offense. I should say salami, and then you'll care. You got the idea. I'm just trying to tell you, you aren't going to grow. Does that make sense? If you had a mathematic recipe. Here's the recipe book. And I opened it up. Boy. Got it. I wish I had thrown it away. You get the idea. Here's the recipe book. Here's the recipe. Here it is. Boy, that looks good cake. Good cake. Now what? The only thing you can do, what, is read the book, read the recipe, close it. Do you have any of it? It's all gone. Boop, all gone. But, hang on to that illustration. But if you were at home, and you open that recipe book, and you got on the counter all these different ingredients, and you got the lard and everything else in there, trying to fix everything up, stir it up and do it. Do you know what? You are involved. You are involved in making that cake. And all of a sudden, dear friend, you just want to keep going to finish it. And when you read, if you read doing that, you're going to keep going because you're doing. If you do it, doing something, if you're in mathematics and you just look at, and you don't care how it's done. But if you're really into some math problem, you got a math problem and you have to start it. And you start it and then you have this thing. And I got to go to the next class. Why? Because I need to know what the next step is. I did the first part of the problem. I need to get the answer. I'm not interested in part of the problem. I'm not interested in part of the recipe. I'm interested in the cake. I'm interested in the answer. So I go and we add another little piece to the mathematics. When you go to school, that's what I used to do when I went to school. And you do that and you get another piece. And you get another piece. And you get another piece. Do you get the recipe? And that's what you're doing. But if you don't do that, if you aren't making it at home, you aren't making it here either too much. No, you're not. How can you? Oh, you aren't feeding on it. You're going to pick up something sometime. I'll bet you if you were tested, I was tested too. We were tested. And we were tested on all the stuff you learned in the last 6 months. And that's a lot. How good would you do in the test? No Bible, just the test. How good would you do in the test? Jeremiah 33, what do? You can't open the Bible. So what do you really know that you can practice? Would you please tell me? You have to work at it. I'm trying to provoke you and myself. To what? Do you understand? You need to do some just common sense understanding about growing and understanding. Otherwise, my dear friend, we're going to be cripples coming up because every other situation in history goes downhill. Churches and all of them, they go downhill. I don't know where you'd go to show me, and I'm sure it's true, but it's very hard. Find a church that goes uphill. I'm telling you. And so I'm trying to help you understand. You're going to roll up your sleeves and be real. Is that all right? You got to be real. Healthy. Healthy. You're God's vineyard. God's planting. And you have to do it. Do you remember what we did? Remember what we did. Oh, I don't want to do it. Got a great illustration. But here we are. The gospel, the good news. Christ died, buried, and rose again. And you believe the good news. So in order to enjoy the recipe, in order to enjoy the solution to the math problem, in order to enjoy the good news, so the good news, Christ died for me, and I died. That's wonderful. And Christ is buried. I'm on the right side of the cross, but on the wrong side of revelation, the resurrection. So, my sins are forgiven, the penalty's paid, I'm the same person, I don't enjoy being a new creature. I believe that's gospel. No, you got to finish it. The good news is Christ died, buried, and rose again. And he rose again. And you don't want to be in the wrong side of the resurrection, on the empty tomb side, on the tomb side. You want to be in the right side of resurrection, the power side. And most believers never get to this. They don't live under power. I'm going to give, I will do it. 2 minutes and then you can yell at me, okay? I'm going to give you an illustration in closing. There was this fellow that driving down the highway out in the country, and he went off into a ditch. And so he went off into a ditch, he couldn't get out. So there was a farmhouse. So he walked over to the farmhouse and he asked the farmer if he could call or do something to get out of the ditch. And so the farmer asked him what it was. He says, my car's in the ditch over there. I can't get it out. He said, oh, I'll help you. And so we walked together to the barn. We walk together to the barn, and the farmer gets his mule. He gets his mule and takes his mule and walks. And I'm looking, and the person's looking at that, says, there's no way that mule can gonna pull out the car. It just isn't going to pull it out. Not going to pull it out. No, not going to pull it out. So, but you're going to go with him. The farmer goes over there, and the farmer goes and attaches the mule to the bought in the car, and the farmer said, this isn't going to work. There's no way he can do that. And the farmer just didn't say anything. And so the mule's name was Warwick. And so he said, and it was time to try the pull. So the farmer said, "Pull Jack, pull Fred, pull Warwick." And he did. And out came the car. Out came the car. So the man said, "What did you just say?" "I told Warwick, he's blind, he can't see, and he thinks everyone's with him." So all he had to do was think that Fred and Jack were there, and that was enough. When he said pull, all he's going to pull with the rest of the guys. You got it? You draw a circle, and you're just one little mule. And you do what you do the best you can, as you can, and forget everybody else. And that's no offense to anybody. Draw a circle and get in it. If you're saved and you're overcomer, do it. Otherwise, you aren't going to do it. And you're just going to be more of the same. And I don't want to see you 10 years from now without seeing you grow. Is that all right? What's wrong with that? That's what it's about. Boy, we haven't even got started. Are you getting there? Boy, we'll try a little bit tonight. Maybe. God help us. We'll look to the Lord. Now, Father and God, thank you for your word, your work, your grace. Deal with us, and thank you. Thank you for loving. Thank you for caring. God, help us understand, and we'll look to you with thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.